This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa Khatamin Nabiyyin. محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. We continue with the tafsir, a commentary of Surah Al-A'la. I've completed the commentary of the beginning verses, which I'll quickly translate before we proceed to the remaining verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَبِّحِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى فَجَعْلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى وَنَيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى. Elevate the name of your Lord, the Most High. He who created and then perfected, and he who proportioned and then guided, and he who extracted or who produced the green pasture, then he turned it or he made it into dark stubble. We will make you read, then you shall not forget. Except that which Allah wills. Verily He, Allah, knows all that is apparent and all that which is concealed. And we will ease you unto ease. These are the verses which I've already completed. Allah then says, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. So remind. If reminding benefits. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ. So admonish if the admonition benefits. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. He who fears, i.e. Allah, will be admonished. وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. And will keep away from the admonition the most wretched one. الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى. He who will enter the great fire. ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. Then he will not die therein nor live. So this is the quick translation of these few verses towards the end of Surah Al-A'la, and today I'll focus just on these verses, and then the remaining final verses I'll comment on in the next session. We learn quite a few things from this set of verses. One, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remind, to advise, and to admonish the believers. On one condition though, which is, if that nasiha, that advice, that good counsel, that reminding, and that admonition is beneficial. Allah then goes on to say, who will actually benefit? So Allah says, O Messenger, do advise, do admonish, if that admonition and advice and reminder is beneficial. Then Allah Himself explains who it's beneficial for and who will this admonition and reminder actually benefit. Who are the good people? Who are the deserving people? Who are reminded? Who are admonished? Who do take heed? Who do benefit from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's reminder? So Allah says they are those, or it says that individual, that person, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى, who fears Allah. He who fears Allah will be admonished. He will be reminded. He will take heed. So we learn that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been commanded to advise and remind and admonish if that admonition and reminder is beneficial. Two, for a person to actually benefit, he has to be fearing, aware, conscious, and in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one who is wretched, corrupt of nature, what will he do? Not only will he not benefit, but he will actually keep away from the reminder, from the admonition, from the good counsel and advice. He will distance himself. In fact, rather than being wary of Allah, he will be wary of the reminder. So what will his ultimate destiny and destination be? One who is not wary of Allah, but rather wary of the reminder of Allah. الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارُ الْكُبْرَى, he is the one who will enter the great fire, i.e. of Jahannam. And what will be his state therein? ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى, therein he shall neither live nor die. So let's go back to the beginning of this set of verses. Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى, remind if reminding benefits. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his eloquence, with his sincerity, with his zeal and passion, with his influence, with the power of his words, with the strength of prophethood, and with divine assistance supporting him at all times, even his words, even his reminder, even his nasiha and his admonition could not benefit some people. It wouldn't. This is why listening to the words of Allah, listening to the words of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in and of itself does not necessarily benefit someone. A person could be listening, but not listening. Allah says, because at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there would be some people who would be seated in the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would recite the Quran to them. He would speak to them. Now imagine, this is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Mecca, or Medina, in a blessed place, in a blessed environment, with his noble and blessed words, with his eloquence, with the power of prophethood and divine assistance backing him. And people would actually be listening to him, looking at him, watching him, listening to him. But they still wouldn't benefit. Because Allah himself describes in the Quran, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَسْتَمِعُونَ إِلَيْكَ. And there are those of them who listen attentively to you. So it's not just passive listening. It's not mindless listening. Lest someone thinks that, okay, some people might be present, but they're absent-minded. They're not really paying attention. They are physically present, but their minds are wandering elsewhere. And they're not actually paying any attention. But no, the words used here are yastami'un, istima'. And one of the meanings of istima' is that you listen with commitment, you listen with attention. This is why Allah says in another verse, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And when the Qur'an is recited, then listen attentively. Not فَاسْمَعُوا but فَاسْتَمِعُوا. Not just listen, but listen attentively, with devotion, with focus, and with attention, and with commitment. So that's a difference. So this verse actually says the same, that وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَسْتَمِعُونَ إِلَيْكَ. And there are of those who listen attentively to you. But then Allah says, أَفَأَنْتَ تُسْمِعُ السُّمَّ وَلَوْ كَانُوا لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. But O Messenger of Allah, will you make hear, will you make listen those who are deaf? وَلَوْ كَانُوا لَا يَعْقِلُونَ, even though they don't understand. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْكَ. Allah then continues, and there are of those who look at you. And then Allah says, أَفَأَنْتَ تَهْدِ الْعُمْيَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. What, O Messenger of Allah, will you guide the blind, even though they do not really see? So, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were those in the blessed Al-Masjid Al-Haram, in the blessed Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sitting in blessed environments, blessed places, in the company of the blessed, listening to the blessed words of the noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and yet they were listening but not listening, listening but not hearing. They were seeking guidance but not finding guidance. They were looking, but not observing. They were looking, but not seeing. So, one's physical presence in a religious gathering, in a lesson, in a talk, in a session, is not sufficient. One's listening, even with attention, is not sufficient. There are many prerequisites, many conditions that must be met and fulfilled before a person can benefit and gain and take heed and be admonished by an admonition, be reminded by the reminder. And we learn about them throughout the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one in a verse of the Qur'an, Allah says, here Allah azza wa jal says, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. So remind if reminding benefits. Admonish and advise if that advice and admonition benefits. So who will it benefit? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in the very next verse here, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى, will be admonished, will be reminded, will be advised, one who fears, i.e. fears Allah. So that's the first condition that must be met. To be admonished by the admonition of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to actually benefit from the words of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to be reminded by the reminder of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one has to have the fear of Allah, one has to have taqwa. In another verse, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ, and be wary of Allah, and Allah will teach you. Ilm, nasiha, dhikra, the reminder, the admonition, understanding, none of these can come without taqwa, without the fear of Allah. So when a person is trying to gain ilm, knowledge, and understanding of the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if one is seeking to be benefited by the reminder of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to take heed, to gain any benefits, to be admonished, to be advised, to be inspired, then the first condition is that person should already be making an attempt to fear Allah, to be wary of Allah, to abstain from sins. Sins pollute, sins cloud a person's understanding and judgment. And sins actually dull a person's senses and ability to understand. There's a famous poem. One of the students, one of the ulama, actually said, شَكَوْتُ إِلَىٰ وَكِيعٍ سُوءَ حِظِّي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْمَعَاسِي فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُعْطَى لِلْعَاسِي. So the student, who was a scholar himself, he complained to Waqi', Imam Waqi', of his bad memory. He said, I'm trying to learn, but I can't retain what I learn. So Waqi' advised him, the poem says, I complain to Waqi' of my poor memory, of my bad memory. So he guided me to the shunning and abandonment of sins. For he said, indeed, ilm is from Allah, a light from Allah, and the light of Allah is not given to the sinner. So for a person to be admonished and to be advised and reminded by the Quran, by the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for him to benefit in any way, the first condition, as Allah says here, is to fear Allah, to have taqwa, to be wary, to be conscious of Allah. And what does a person do if he fears Allah? What does a person do when he or she is wary of Allah? They are on guard from the displeasure of Allah, on guard from the disobedience of Allah, on guard to ensure that they don't even stray anywhere close to sinning. Such a person, their hearts will be purified by Allah. Their minds will be uncluttered and pure. And with such a pure heart and mind, they will be able to receive the wisdom of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be admonished, benefit. So we learn that just from these two verses in this surah, Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. So remind, admonish. If that admonition, if that reminding benefits, will be admonished, will be benefited, will be reminded, one who fears, i.e. Allah. So that's the first condition. There are other conditions. Allah says elsewhere in the Qur'an, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind, for reminding benefits the believers. So of course, one can't really have taqwa or the khashyah, the fear of Allah, without iman. So iman is a condition. One has to have faith in Allah. And by iman, we don't just mean Islam, apparent submission, or the verbal testimony of I believe in Allah and I'm a Muslim. No. That apparent Islam, that verbal testimony of faith, should be matched by an inner reality of belief, of true faith in Allah. A person of true faith is benefited by the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is admonished, is advised. A person of faith gains wisdom. So, iman is another condition. Taqwa and khashyah, the fear of Allah, is another condition. Another prerequisite. Another requirement for a person to gain any benefits, any wisdom, any admonition, any reminder from the Qur'an and the words of his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says in another verse, فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدِ. So, O Messenger, remind with the Qur'an, advise with the Qur'an, admonish through the Qur'an. Who? مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدِ. One who fears my threat. So the promises that Allah has made in the Qur'an, the warnings Allah has given in the Qur'an, if someone takes those warnings seriously and fears them, that person will be admonished and advised and be reminded and will benefit from the words of the Qur'an. So far we've learnt iman is a condition to benefit from the Qur'an. Khashyah, i.e. the fear of Allah, is another condition. مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدِ, fearing the promises and the warnings given by Allah in the Qur'an, is another condition to be admonished, to be advised by the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To gain any ilm, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيَعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ, and be wary of Allah, and Allah will teach you. Allah will give you ilm. Allah will grant you knowledge. In many places throughout the Qur'an, Allah also says, وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, and will not take heed, will not be reminded, will not be admonished, except those who possess intelligence. This is why the ulama have said repeatedly that if one is unable to understand the parables of the Qur'an, the morals and lessons of the Qur'an, the similitudes expounded in the Qur'an, then rather than question the book of Allah or the words of Allah, one should question one's own understanding and intelligence. This is why when Allah mentioned certain parables in the Quran. The Quraysh mocked them. Now, why is Allah giving examples of flies, of gnats in the Quran? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. As for those who believe, they know that this is the truth from their Lord. And as for those who disbelieve, they say, مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. What did Allah intend by giving this as an example? So the same parable, the same similitude in the Quran, the same example, those of faith and belief understand it in a completely different way, knowing that this is a truth from their Lord. But those who lack faith also lack its understanding. And they, in their inability to comprehend it, in their inability to grasp it, they ridicule it, they mock it, they reject it, they dismiss it. One other thing we learn in the Quran, and also generally from the teachings of Islam, is that for a person to be advised, to be admonished, to benefit from the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one has to sincerely seek, طلب. There has to be that seeking, that searching, that want, and there has to be with sincerity. Allah describes that beautifully in the Quran, in Surah Abbas. Before I continue with Surah Abbas, let me give one more prerequisite, one more condition to actually benefit from the admonition and the reminder of the Quran. Humility. Anyone who's arrogant, Allah will blind them to the truth. Allah says in a verse, سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينِ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَإِنْ يَرَوْ كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا وَإِنْ يَرَوْ سَبِيلَ الرُّشْدِ لَا يَتَّخِذُوهُ سَبِيلًا وَإِنْ يَرَوْ سَبِيلَ الْغَيِّ يَتَّخِذُوهُ سَبِيلًا. Allah says, I will turn away from my side those who are arrogant upon the earth without just cause. And if they see every sign, they still won't believe. And if they see the path of guidance, they will not take it as a path. And if they see the path of waywardness, they will adopt it as a path. So those who are arrogant, not only are they blinded, metaphorically speaking, but their vision and their perception, their intuition, their understanding, no matter how intelligent and wise they may consider themselves to be, their perception and their intuition and their wisdom and their understanding are all distorted. So much so that they see things where there aren't any such things. And where there is something, they can't even see it. Where there is truth, haqq, they see batil. And where there is batil, they see haqq. They see truth for falsehood and falsehood for truth, as Allah describes. If they see every sign, every verse, they still won't believe. In fact, to go even further, where there is rushd, the path of righteousness, the path of guidance, they won't take it. But where there is ghay, the path of crookedness, waywardness, and deviation, they will eagerly and gladly and gleefully take that path. Why? Because their arrogance, not only blinds them, but makes them delusional. And in that delusion, their thinking is warped, convoluted, distorted. They see things of a different colour. They see things of a different hue. They see things where there is nothing, and where there is something great, they see nothing. That's arrogance. So for a person to be admonished, what's one more condition to be admonished after Iman, after Khashyah, the fear of Allah, after Taqwa? What else is there? Humility. One has to be humble, physically, mentally. Physically humble, observe the etiquettes of gatherings. Observe the etiquettes and the correct conduct and behaviour in a gathering of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Observe the correct etiquette towards those from whom you seek to benefit. If you are sitting in front of someone wanting to learn from him, learning is a spiritual exercise. Learning in Islam, benefiting, being admonished, being advised, as we've just learned from all of these verses, is not simply mental. It's not academic. It's spiritual. It's very deep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, has described the knowledge and the guidance which he has brought as rain. He said the parable, the example, the description of the knowledge and the guidance that I have brought is that of rain. So rain falls. And rain can fall in different places and the effect is different. But it's the same rain. And this is why the ulama would describe ilm, knowledge, as rain. And rain falls, but depending on the conduit and the channel and the piping that it comes through, it's affected. So if the pipes are filthy, if the reservoir is filthy, if the container is polluted and dirty, the same rain will be contaminated and polluted and made murky and dirty by the container. So ilm must come through the hearts to the hearts, not just from mind to mind, not just from paper to eyes, not just from sound to ear, but ilm must pass from heart to heart. And if your heart is polluted and contaminated and murky towards the person from whom you seek to benefit, whatever you hear from them, whatever you apparently gain from them, will be contaminated, polluted, dirtied, made murky by your own perception and your own heart state and condition towards that person. If you seek to gain the knowledge of Allah and the wisdom of His noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from someone, and yet your heart is averse to them, what will you gain? How can you benefit? You won't. Because this is not an academic exercise. The ilm of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam passes from heart to heart, from spirit to spirit, from ruh to ruh. And so part of that humility which enables a person to be admonished and to be benefited by the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that a person should also observe the etiquettes and should be humble in the gatherings of ilm. Physically be humble, mentally be humble. How can a person be mentally arrogant or humble? Or sometimes we assume that a lowered head, drooped shoulders, a bent back, a hunched back, a low volume and tone in speech, that these things necessarily mean humility. No. Humility ultimately is in the heart, where a person's truly humble. There should be no arrogance or pride in the heart. There should be no arrogance or haughtiness in the mind. A person should not be mentally arrogant. A person can lower one voice, speak in hushed tones, droop one's shoulders, hunch one's back, shuffle slowly, and appear to be very saintly and humble, and yet mentally be utterly arrogant by believing that I am good, I am pious, I am holy, I am saintly, I am knowledgeable, I know better than him. I know more than him. I am better than him. I know more. If you do know more, fine, go. Why do you wish, if you are truly so knowledgeable, why do you wish to demean yourself by keeping the company of those you believe to be inferior and ignorant? Why? Why are you wasting your time? Are you that intelligent that you are extremely knowledgeable, and yet you are also that unintelligent that you want to waste your time with those who are inferior and who lack knowledge? Why? Is that wise? Is that wise usage of your time, of your life, of your energy? That you consider yourself more knowledgeable, more intelligent, and yet you can't help but associate yourself with those who are ignorant and less intelligent than you. Humility means mental humility too. It means a humility of the heart. And that means a person should open up their heart, open up their mind to receive wisdom, to receive admonition, to receive and to be benefited by the reminder of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So going back to another example, another condition, another attitude that one should adopt. As I was saying in Surah Abbas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى أَوْ يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَى أَمَّا مَنْ اسْتَغْنَى فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى وَهُوَ يَخْشَى فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَى كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَةٌ فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. Allah says, عَبَس, he frowned, وَتَوَلَّى, and he turned away. أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى, because a blind man came to him. This is actually a reference to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, a blind companion, he came to speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to learn from him, to be advised by him, to be admonished by him, He came to benefit from him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at that time speaking to a non-Muslim who was famous, renowned, influential, powerful, mighty, one of class, and who obviously regarded himself as superior. And there may have been more than one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was busy talking to them, him or them, in his eagerness, in his zeal, that if I can convince these people, they will believe. And their believing, because of their rank and their position and their overall influence, will be beneficial. So whilst the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his utmost sincerity and zeal, was engaged and preoccupied in talking to these non-Muslims, one or more, Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, a sincere believer, came to him to benefit from him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that moment decided that he would continue, he was busy, he was preoccupied, that he would continue speaking to the others. And he wished Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum to leave him be at that time. When Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum persisted in trying to win the attention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to benefit from him, to learn from him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wished him to go away, and in his disapproval, he frowned. That's all he did, abas, he frowned. And he actually turned away from Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually corrected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he revealed these verses, saying, he frowned, meaning the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he frowned and he turned away because a blind man came to him, Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum. Then addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّ. And O Messenger of Allah, what do you know? Perhaps he, meaning Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, the blind companion, he may be purified. أو يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعُهُ الذِّكْرَى. Or he will benefit, he will be advised, he will be admonished, he will take heed, so the reminder will benefit him. أَمَّا مَنْ اسْتَغْنَى. As for one who regards himself as being aloof and independent, and not in need of your advice, فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى. So you pursue him. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى. And it is no concern of yours ultimately, meaning it is not a burden on you, it is not your responsibility, that he is not purified. وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى وَهُوَ يَخْشَى فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَى. As for one who comes to you running whilst fearing Allah, فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَى. So from him you turn away. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَى. Nay, it, meaning the admonition, the Qur'an is a reminder. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَهُ. So whoever wishes will remember it. What these verses tell us is that even the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was advised and actually corrected. That, O Messenger of Allah, here you have two people. Someone who fulfills all the conditions, who meets all the requirements of being admonished and being benefited. And what are they? The same ones that we've discussed before from the other verses. One, he is a believer. Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum. He is a believer. Number two, وَهُوَ يَخْشَى, he fears Allah. Number three, مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى, and this is what I wish to expand on because I haven't discussed this. طَلَب, seeking. He comes in haste. He comes in running to you. He comes in zeal, enthusiasm, and in eagerness to you. That's another condition. طَلَب. One has to sincerely seek. Sincerely. One has to be a seeker, a true seeker. A true talib. That's another condition. And the opposite, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told, O Messenger of Allah, the other person, what is he like? One, istaghna. The person that you are so eagerly engaged with, in the hope, in your zeal, in your passion, in your sincerity, and in your genuine concern, the one that you are pursuing is someone who doesn't want to be pursued, who doesn't want to seek. He's not coming to you, you are going to him. Another thing, istaghna, he's aloof, he thinks he's independent, he has no need of you, that's what he believes. That's arrogance. So then Allah ends this section with the words, kalla innaha tadhkira faman sha'a dhakarah. Nay, this, meaning the Quran, is an admonition. So whoever wishes will remember. I.e. someone who has that wish, that will, that desire, that sincere desire, that seeking, that person will come running. That's a talab. So when Allah says in Surah Al-A'la, the surah that we are studying, Allah says, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. So remind if reminding benefits. Admonish if the admonition benefits. And will be admonished, will be reminded, will be benefited. Will take heed one who fears Allah. And from all of these other verses we learn that along, that for the Qur'an to benefit anyone, for the advice of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to benefit anyone, for nasiha, for the dhikra, the reminder and the admonition to benefit anyone, that person has to fulfill a number of conditions, a few prerequisites. And what are they? One, iman. Two, khashya, the fear of Allah. Another, taqwa. Another, sa'i, meaning talab. One has to go sincerely. One has to seek sincerely. One has to enthusiastically hasten towards that thing. You have to go to ilm. Ilm doesn't come to you. Ilm will not and should not pursue you. Rather, you should be eagerly running to ilm, running to dhikra and the admonition. Then you will be benefited. You must turn your heart and mind to ilm, to the admonition, for them to be filled. Just like a cup or a bowl or any container, you place it under a tap. It's a crude example. But if you place a cup under a tap, no matter how forceful the torrent of water falling on it, not a single drop will enter it. Because the heart is the container is turned. You must turn the container. and empty it for it to be filled, even drop by drop. You must turn your mind. You must sincerely and humbly turn your heart for them to be filled. And for them to be filled, you must rid them of their filth. You must rid them of their prejudgments, of their preconceptions. You must rid them of the false knowledge that you may have arrogantly filled them with. If they are already filled with your own haughty, arrogant ideas and your own arrogant imagination of superior knowledge, then what space is there for the ilm of Allah, the kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah, the words of His noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? If the heart is not turned in utmost humility, how will it be admonished? How will it be advised? How will it benefit? All of these conditions need to be met. And remember, we have to make that sincere intention. We have to make that effort. We have to do that sa'i, meaning make the effort and go running to the admonition. Go running to the reminder. Go running to the advice. We can't expect it to come to us, because it's our responsibility. If we are guided, we are guided for our own benefits. And if we miss that guidance, it is our loss, no one else's. So, truly, if you travel and come here from afar to learn, you are not doing me any favours. You're not doing anyone else any favour. You are ultimately doing this for yourself. If you benefit yourself. If you lose to the loss of your own soul. You won't lose, inshallah, by coming. But you may lose by abstaining. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why was it that even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his eloquence, with his brilliance, with divine power supporting him, with his blessed words in a blessed environment, in blessed places, why was it that even with all of that, some of his listeners, some of the people who were in his physical company, I'm not talking about the companions of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, but those who were in his physical company, they were there in his presence, why was it that they didn't benefit? Why was it? It's because they lacked all of these conditions. And it was not the job, the function, or even the ability of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to guide those whom he wished, as Allah told him, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Verily, you cannot guide whom you love, whom you wish to guide. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very concerned, but Allah reminded him repeatedly that your duty is to convey. Now it is up to the people to receive that truth, to accept that truth, to gain it, and to benefit themselves with it. You can't force anything on anyone. In a verse, Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ." What, will you compel people until they believe, or until they become believers? What, will you compel people? Will you force people until they become mu'mineen and believers? No, you can't do that. Repeatedly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that you are not a guardian, you are not a warden, you are not an enforcer over them. وما جعلناك عليهم حفيظا وما أنت عليهم بوكيل. Allah said to him, O Prophet, we have not made you a warden, a guardian over them, nor are you an appointee over them. You haven't been appointed over them. نحن أعلم بما يقولون وما أنت عليهم بجبار فذكر بالقرآن من يخاف وعيد. That we surely know all that they say. وما أنت عليهم بجبار, and you are not an enforcer over them. So what can you do? You can't enforce. But the most you can do is, Allah immediately says thereafter, فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٍ. So admonish and remind through the Qur'an one who fears my promise, my warning. Even the Messenger of Allah, that's the most he could do. In fact, in the next surah, in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ. So remind and admonish, for you are but only an admonisher. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ. You are not one who has been made powerful over them. Even the Messenger of Allah wasn't a jabbar, a musaytir, a wakil, a hafidh, all words of the Qur'an, an appointee, a warden, a guardian, an enforcer, a controller over anyone. Even the Messenger of Allah, the most he could do was remind, advise, guide. Now it was up to every individual to benefit from that reminder, to be admonished by that admonition, to be reminded by that reminder, to accept and act on that advice. That was true then, it's even more true now. It's no one's responsibility to change someone, to guide, to benefit. No one. It's not the responsibility of any alim, any sheikh, any murabbi, any teacher, any mentor or guide. The most anyone can do is only a portion of what the Prophet ﷺ did, which is, he was told, remind, advise through the Qur'an. But beyond that, you have no control over anyone. You are not a guardian, a warder, an appointee, an enforcer, a controller. You are not. Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ اهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. Say, O Messenger of Allah, announce that, O mankind, O people, verily the truth has come to you from your Lord. So whoever finds guidance, he finds guidance. He is guided to the benefits of his soul. And whoever becomes deviant and goes wayward, then he deviates to the loss and the detriment of his soul. In another verse, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَصَائِرُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ عَمِيَ فَعَلَيْهَا. That verily, things, the realities of vision and the truths of sight have come to you. So whoever sees, فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ فَلِنَفْسِهِ, whoever sees, he sees to the benefits, for the benefits of his own soul. وَمَنْ عَمِيَ فَعَلَيْهَا. And whoever is blind to these visions of reality, to these perceptions of reality, then he is only blind to the loss and the detriment of his own soul. It's ultimately our choice, whether we are benefited, whether we are admonished, whether we gain from that advice, from that teaching, from the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I mentioned recently, before I mention that again, I'll preface that with the words that if ever you are to question anyone for your failures, and I address myself too, first actually, that if we are to question anyone for our failures, we should never point the finger at anyone else. We should question ourselves. We should blame ourselves. Even Iblis, we love to blame Iblis. Even Iblis will tell us that on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Iblis will tell us, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Even Shaytan will tell us, because we love to blame Shaytan. Shaytan made me do this. This is Iblis's fault. If it wasn't for Shaytan, Shaytan does this, Shaytan did that. Shaytan made me do it. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, Shaytan will say, that all I did is I invited you. It was only an invitation, no more. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. But you accepted my invitation. So, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي. Do not blame me. Do not rebuke me. Do not scold me this day. Do not censure me. وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Rather, blame, censure, rebuke, and scold yourselves. So, if we are to ever question or blame anyone for our failures, let us not look at anyone else. Rather question ourselves. And ask ourselves, if I haven't benefited, if I haven't been advised, if I haven't gained any benefits, learning, understanding, wisdom, knowledge, if I'm not admonished, then is it the failure of the message or the messenger, the teaching or the teacher, or is it my own failure? And the thing I said, I've mentioned recently, and I will repeat here, is that Imam Nasa'i and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal relate that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once led Fajr Salah, and he recited Fajr. He recited Surah Ar-Rum in that Fajr Salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced some difficulty and confusion in the recitation. So after Salah, he turned around to the audience, to the congregation, and he said, what is it with me that I was being contested with? In the Qur'an, I was experiencing difficulty. It is because some of you do not make good your wudu. So when you come to Salah, make good your wudu. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced difficulty and confusion in the tilawah of the Qur'an. And he explained that that was the fault and the result of some people not making themselves pure properly. Their lack of purity, their lack of ritual purity, affected even the recitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So rather than question others, we should ask ourselves, where's my failing? Where's my responsibility? Have I fulfilled the conditions and the requirements? If we are corrupt ourselves, how will we benefit? If we are corrupt, our lack of taqwa, our lack of khashyah, the fear of Allah, our lack of being aware and conscious and wary of Allah, our lacking in that regard, our sins, our own arrogance, our lack of humility, our own inner corruption, our own stupidity. Yes, our own stupidity and lack of intelligence. As Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَذَّكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Only those of intelligence take heed. So our own stupidity, our own lack of understanding, our own lack of wisdom. All of these factors, along with our inner spiritual corruption and our sins, they prove to be a block to our benefiting, gaining knowledge and understanding. And we blame others. Because that's what happens. And as Allah says in the surah, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى, advise, admonish, if advising, admonition benefits. And as I said at the very beginning, if it benefits, that means at times it may be the case that admonition, reminding, doesn't benefit anyone. So it may be the case that one shouldn't even bother. As Allah says in a verse of the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. O believers, concern yourselves with yourselves. Those who are misguided cannot harm you if you are guided. And what that verse means, it shouldn't be misunderstood. It doesn't mean that one shouldn't advise or try to guide others. One shouldn't enjoin the good and forbid the evil. No, as I've explained on many occasions, one should try to help, advise and guide and teach others, admonish others, and enjoin the good, forbid the evil, instruct them to good, exhort them, encourage them to do good, discourage them and dissuade them from committing sins. Yes, all of these things should be done. On one condition, if it proves to be beneficial. And this is why Imam Abu Dawood, Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Ibn Majah, and others all relate in their books of hadith from Abu Tha'labah al-Khushani radiyallahu anhu, a companion. One of his students said to him that, what do we do with this verse? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. He asked him about the same verse. That apparently this verse suggests that you shouldn't be enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, instructing and encouraging others to do good and dissuading them, discouraging them from committing sins. So Abu Umayyah al-Sha'bani, the student, he said to Abu Tha'labah al-Khushani radiyallahu anhu, that what do we do with this verse? Is this the meaning? Is this the understanding? So Abu Tha'labah al-Khushani radiyallahu anhu said to him, you have come to the right person. Indeed, you've come to the right person. Because I actually asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about this verse. That should we not then enjoin the good? Forbid the evil? Should we not do al-amru bil-ma'roof wa nahyu anil munkar? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, nay, bal ittamiru bil-ma'roof wa tanahu anil munkar. Nay, indeed enjoin the good and prevent one another from sin. And in one narration, بَلِئْتَمِرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهُوا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Nay, enjoin the good and forbid the evil. حَتَّى إِذَا رَأَيْتَ. When, till when? Until. حَتَّى إِذَا رَأَيْتَ شُحًّا مُطَاعًا وهوى متبعا ودنيا مؤثرة وإعجاب كل ذي رأي برأيه فعليك بخاصة نفسك. Enjoin the good, forbid the evil, advise, admonish, encourage to good, discourage from sin, guide others until you see four things. Until you see shuhan muta'a, greed, which is followed and obeyed. Wahawa muttaba'a, and desire, which is followed and obeyed. Wadunya mu'thara, and the world which is given preference in everything. وَعِجَابَ كُلِّ ذِي رَأِيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ. And until you see each person qualified of opinion being obsessed with their opinion, being content and pleased with their opinion. When you see these four things, then forget others, فَعَلَيْكَ بِخَاسَةِ نَفْسِكَ, concern yourself with yourself. This then is the meaning of the verse, that once you've tried, or even if you haven't tried, but you can see that there is no benefit whatsoever in even attempting to help, to guide, to advise, to teach, to admonish, and to remind someone, then their failure, their deviation, their corruption, their misguidance, their waywardness cannot harm you, as long as you have found guidance. And these are the four things. So you can't advise someone who's been corrupted by these four things. One, shuhm muta'a. If someone's greedy for the dunya, if someone's a glutton for the dunya, greedy for the dunya, all they want is wealth, money, wealth. And they're willing to do whatever they want to gain that wealth and to pursue it. So one, they are greedy for the dunya. And they follow that greed, they pursue that greed. شُحْم مُطَاعَ وَهَوَ مُطَّبَعَ. They have lowly desires and passions. And they follow and obey those bestial wants, those lowly desires, those corrupt wishes. And they follow their lower self, they obey their lower self. They sink and stoop to that level. That rather than follow Allah, they follow their desires. Number three, when you see وَدُنْيَا مُؤْثَرَ, that someone gives preference to the dunya in everything. Two choices. One is better for the akhirah. One is better for the dunya. The person makes the choice of the dunya. So the dunya is given preference in everything, the world. And number four, وَعِجَابَ كُلِّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ. When everyone who is ذُو رَأْي, who's a ذُو رَأْي? A ذُو رَأْي is someone who's intelligent, who's capable of formulating and holding an opinion. So they are knowledgeable in their field. They have the knowledge, they have the experience, they have the expertise. They are not unintelligent, and they are not, they don't lack expertise. They are qualified. That's the most important point. كُلِّ ذِي رَأْي. Everyone qualified to hold an opinion. So they're actually qualified to hold an opinion. What it is that they become slaves to their opinions. They become passionate about their opinions. They're obsessed with their opinion. They are intelligent. They don't lack knowledge or expertise. They don't lack the credentials. And no one would argue that this person's not an alim. He is an alim. He is a scholar. He is an expert. But there's one weakness. The person passionately and in a very bigoted manner clings on to his opinion, being obsessed with it, pleased with it, content with it. So he is not convinced by any alternative evidence. Or he expects everyone to follow his opinion. A person can say that, look, I am content with the evidences for this opinion, but this is my choice, this is my opinion, this is my belief. I'm not imposing it on anyone. So you can imagine the i'jab, the obsession, and the delusion and the contentment of one's opinion by a fool and an ignorant idiot. So if a qualified person and an expert and a scholar becomes obsessed with his opinion, and this is condemned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, imagine the obsession with one's opinion by an ignoramus, by a fool who lacks the knowledge and the expertise. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Thalib al-Khushni radiyallahu anhu, when you see these four things, then fa'alayka bi khasati nafsik, concern yourself with yourself, because you won't be able to advise anyone. How can nasiha, how can admonition, how can the reminder penetrate such people's hearts and minds who are corrupted and blinded and filled with these qualities? And they're not qualities, these traits and these characteristics. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I'll end with this, فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. So remind if reminding benefits. Admonish if the admonition benefits. Say, أَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. He will be admonished, he will be reminded who fears, i.e. Allah. وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. And will abstain from this admonition and reminder one who is wretched. Someone who's crooked and corrupt of character and wretched, that person will stay away. And even if they don't physically stay away, they will still abstain. So they're listening but not listening. They're looking but not looking and seeing. They're being advised, but they won't take any advice. They're being admonished, but they refuse it. They reject it. And rather than hastening towards it and running towards it, what do? يَتَجَنَّبُهَا. They are averse to it. They distance themselves from it. They avoid it. They shun it. Why? Because they are wretched. أَشْقَى. They are wretched. They are wicked. They are corrupt of character. Conceited of mind. And then what will be the abode of such a person? الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى. He, that wretched person, will shun that admonition. He who will enter the great fire. Therein he shall neither live, therein he will neither die nor live. And this is similar to another verse of the Quran in which Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ أَخْذَتُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمُ وَلَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادُ. That when it is said to him, Allah speaks of someone who is corrupt, and he spreads corruption. When it is said to him, fear Allah, be wary of Allah, when he's reminded of Allah, of the duty to be careful with Allah, when he is reminded to be conscious, aware, wary and fearful of Allah, what's his reply? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. When it is said to him, be wary of Allah, fear Allah, أَخَذَتُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ. Rather than responding with humility and rather than benefiting from that reminder, rather than being admonished by the reminder of Allah, what does he do? أَخَذَتُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ. Arrogance in sin seizes him. He becomes even more arrogant. And he reacts with even further sin. So arrogance seizes him. Rather than being humbled by the reminder of Allah, his response is, what, you dare, how dare you tell me? Who do you think you are? So what's such a person's destiny? Allah says in Surah Al-A'la that such a person, a wretched person, will shun the admonition. He who will enter the great fire. So here as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when it's said to him, be wary and fearful of Allah, arrogance and sin seizes him. So the next thing Allah says is, فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمْ. So Jahannam is sufficient for him. Straight. The ultimate destiny is Jahannam. Jahannam is sufficient for him. And terrible it is an abode. So here as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I'll end with the translation of this set of verses that we've covered today. So remind, if reminding and admonishing benefits, will be admonished and will be reminded and will take heed he who fears, i.e. Allah. And the wretched one will shun the reminder and avoid it, he who will enter the great fire. Then he will not die therein, nor will he live. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be sincere seekers. May Allah enable us to fulfill all these requirements of being admonished and benefited and reminded by the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah open our hearts and minds to His reminders. وصلى الله وسلم على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك